Parsha Shalach. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Shlach lecho anoshim, send for yourself men, v'yosu es eretz Canaan, to spy on the land of Canaan, asher ani noisin levnei Yisrael, which I am giving to the Bnei Yisrael. The pasuk says, Shlach lecho, send for yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am not telling you to send, but if you want, you could send spies to spy on the land that I am giving you. Ish echad, lemate avois of tishlachu, one person per shevet shall you send, koil nasi vohem, each one of them should be a nasi, should be a leader. Vayishlach oisam Moshe mimidbar Paran, and Moshe sent them from the desert of Paran, al pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem does not mean that Hashem wanted that Klal Yisrael should send Meraglim. The pasuk means al pi Hashem, that Hashem did not stop them. They had reshus. Hashem was going along with this idea. Kulam anoshim, all of them were tzaddikim. Rashi v'nei Yisrael hema, the heads of the B'nai Yisrael. At this point, they were considered tzaddikim. It was only after they started on their trip to Eretz Yisrael with the idea of saying negative reports about Eretz Yisrael that they were considered rishoyim. However, at this point, before they started their trip, they were kulam anoshim, they were all tzaddikim. And in order to understand exactly what went on over here, we have to look at Rashi with the explanation of the Maral. Rashi tells us that Klal Yisrael gathered around Moshe Rabbeinu, like the pasuk says, "Vatikruvun Eli Kulchem." They all gathered around Moshe and asked him if it was okay if they sent spies in order to check out Eretz Yisrael. This was a normal and typical thing to do before one entered a country to attack a country. Just like we find later on in Parshas Chukas, Perik Chof Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayishlach Moshe L'Raglas Yazer. Moshe sent men to spy on Yazer. So we see it was a normal and typical thing to send spies before you go and conquer a country. And so too, Yeshua sent Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael before he went in. So Klal Yisrael also wanted to send spies in order to see exactly how to capture the land. The spies would go in there and check where the weak points were, where the strong points were, and this way they would know which land to capture first and which land to leave for last. Moshe brought this idea before HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Moshe thought it was a good idea. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, if you want to send the Meraglim, I'll let you send the Meraglim, but I'm telling you it's not a good idea because I know what's in the hearts of Klal Yisrael. They're not sending Meraglim because they want to know how to capture the land, but rather they are looking for a way in order to get out of going to Eretz Yisrael. By sending Meraglim, they will just try to find something negative about Eretz Yisrael in order to convince the rest of Klal Yisrael that we should not enter. And the reason why they did not want to go in was because, first of all, they did not trust Hashem that the land was as good as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was. And secondly, they were afraid to fight a war against the Canaanim because they were afraid that the Canaanim were stronger than they were. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, if you want, you can send Meraglim. But I'm telling you that through the Meraglim, there will come about a sin that will cause Klal Yisrael not to enter Eretz Yisrael. So now the question arises, if Moshe knew that it was not a good thing, why did he offer Klal Yisrael the option of sending the Meraglim? And this can be answered with Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, where Rashi says a mashal. There was a person who wanted to sell his donkey. And the buyer said, okay, I will buy the donkey. However, I would like to give it a test drive. The seller said, fine, you can try it out. The buyer said, can I try it in the mountains and the hills? And the seller said, you can try it wherever you want. Once the buyer saw that the seller was not hiding anything, he said, I'm going to buy the chamor without any test drive, because I see that you are not hiding anything. So too with Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu figured he will offer Klal Yisrael to send Meraglim. Once Klal Yisrael will see that he is not hiding anything and he's willing to show them the land, he was hoping that they would back down and not want to send Meraglim anymore. However, he was wrong in his calculations, and even after he offered them to send Meraglim, Klal Yisrael took him up on his offer and sent the Meraglim. And that is why, even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew it was not a good thing, he still offered this option to Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk continues, Ve'ele Shemosam, and these are their names. These are the names of the spies. Lamate Ruben, for Shevet Ruben, the spy was Shamua ben Zakur. Lamate Shimon, it was Shofet ben Chori. Lamate Yehuda was Kalev ben Yefune. Lamate Yisachar, Yigal ben Yosef. Lamate Ephraim, for Shevet Ephraim, it was Hoshea ben Nun. Lamate Vinyamin, Palti ben Rafu. Lamate Zebulun, Gadiel ben Soidi. Lamate Yosef, for Shevet Yosef. Lamate Menashe, for Shevet Menashe. Gadi ben Susi, the spy was Gadi ben Susi. Lemate Don Amiel ben Gamali, Lemate Osher Sisur ben Michoel, Lemate Naftoli Nachbi ben Vovsi, and Lemate God, the spy was Geuel ben Mochi. Ele Shemoisu Anoshim Asher Sholach Moshe Losur Esa Oretz. These are the names of the men that Moshe sent to spy on the land. We know that Yosef had two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. However, we only find Yosef's name mentioned by one of his sons, by Menashe, as the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe. However, in Pasuk Ches, by Shevet Ephraim, it does not say Lemate Yosef, Lemate Ephraim. Why isn't Yosef's name mentioned by Shevet Ephraim like it is mentioned by Shevet Menashe? Dasakena Mibalei HaTosfos answers, because Menashe and Yosef had something in common. Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers, and so too did the spy from Shevet Menashe, Gadi ben Susi, speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. However, the spy from Shevet Ephraim, Hoshea ben Nun, did not speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Yosef's name is not mentioned in conjunction with Hoshea ben Nun. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in Sefer Emes LeYaakov, offers another pshat. He quotes the pasuk in Parshas Vayechi that says that Menashe and Ephraim were in the Minyan HaShvatim, they were part of the 12 Shvatim. Like the pasuk says, Ephraim uMenashe kiRuven veShimon yiuli. Ephraim and Menashe are in the Minyan HaShvatim, just like Ruven and Shimon. And then the next pasuk says, in Perik Memches, pasuk Vav, uMeladetcha asher heladeto acharehem, if you will have any children after Menashe and Ephraim, lecha yiyu. They will be yours. Al Shem Achayim Yikaru Benachalosom. They will go under the shevet of Ephraim and Menashe. If you will have any more children, they will not be their own shevet, but rather they will be included in Menashe and Ephraim shevet. The question is, which shevet will they be included, Menashe or Ephraim? Rabbi Yaakov says that Yosef had the choice to place these children in any shevet he wanted, and Yosef chose to place these children in shevet Menashe. That is why the Pasuk says, Lamate Yosef, Lamate Menashe. Because if Yosef were to have any more children, he would have placed them in Shevet Menashe. There were children of Yosef that were included in Shevet Menashe. We must also understand, in what order are these spies listed? If you look at the Psukim, it doesn't seem like there is any order to the list of these spies. Ramban learns that the order is based on their chashivos, their importance. And the Sephorna learns that their order is based on their age. However, there is a kasha according to both of these pshatim, because Kalev ben Yefune is listed before Yehoshua ben Nun. So according to the Ramban, the Pasuk seems to say that Kalev ben Yefune was more chashuv and more important than Yehoshua ben Nun, and this cannot be. And secondly, it would come out according to the Sephorna that Kalev was older than Yehoshua ben Nun, and we know that Yeshua was older than Kalev. Therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains the Machlokes Ramban and Sephorna a bit differently. Because if you look at the first four Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, and Yisachar, they are all the children of Leah and seem to be listed in the order of the way they were born. Reuven first, then Shimon, and really Levi should be third. However, since Levi did not receive a portion in Eretz Yisrael, he had no reason to send a spy to see what the land was all about. Therefore, Levi did not send a spy, so Levi is not mentioned. And then came Yehuda, and then Yisachar. So we have the correct order, Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, and Yisachar. It's only from Ephraim and on that there seems to be no order. The Machlokes Ramban and Sephorna only kicks in after Pasuk Ches from Ephraim and on. Ramban learns that from Ephraim and on it was based on their chashivos, and Sephorna learns it was based on their age. So the kasha from Kalev ben Yefune is not a kasha, because Kalev is not mentioned before Yehoshua because he is either more important or older, but rather since the first four psukim were all listed in the order of Leah's children, Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, and Yisachar. We still must understand a basic question that we have in the beginning of this parsha. The pasuk says that these meraglim were koil nasi bohem, each one was a nasi. And we know in each of the three preceding parshiyos there is a listing of nasiim with the same people mentioned in each of the parshiyos. Why in this parsha is an entirely new slate of leaders of nasiim mentioned? What happened to the first Nasiim? Rashbam learned that these people were not actually the Nasiim. Spying out the land was a difficult and dangerous undertaking, requiring a tremendous amount of courage. Therefore, Hashem instructed Moshe to seek volunteers for the mission to spy on the land. And then from these volunteers, Moshe would select the ones that he thought were the most capable to do the job. The word Karl Nasi Bahem over here does not mean that each one of them was a Nasi. It rather means Nasa from the word uplifted and raised. These people were the ones who raised themselves to the level to have the courage to volunteer to go out on this dangerous mission of spying on the land. Chizkuni offers a different shot. He says Koil Nasi Bohem means that each one of the Nasiim, which were mentioned in the previous parashiyos, would select the Meraglim. Each Nasi of that Shevet would select one spy from his Shevet. Koil Nasi Bohem were the ones that were choosing the Meraglim. Bal Haturim learns yet another pshat. He is medayik in the pasuk that it says Rosh Evinei Yisrael Hema. Why does it say the word Hema? The pasuk could have just said Rosh Evinei Yisrael. Yisroi advised Moshe to divide the Yidden into groups and appoint leaders over groups of 1,000, groups of 100, and groups of 50. The word Hema has the gematria, the numerical value of 50. These spies were not the regular Nasiim. They were the Sari HaChamishim, the leaders of the groups of 50. And that's why the numerical value of Hema is 50 to allude to the group which they were leaders over. We can also say in other teretz, based on Rashi, in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Over there Rashi says that the Maisa of Korach happened before the story of the Meraglim. And we know by the story of Korach that not only did Korach die, but also the 250 people, which included Elitzur ben Shederov v'Chaverov, as Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Korach. Like the Pasuk says, Nesiei Edo, the Nesiim also died. So if the story of Korach happened first and the Nesiim died, so now we understand why we had to have new Nesiim to be the Meraglim, because the first Nesiim had already died. The Ragachava in Sefer Tzafnas Paneach answers a different teretz. He says, based on the Yerushalmi in Soita, that there were really 24 Meraglim, the 12 Nesiim that were mentioned earlier in the previous parashios, and in this parasha, another 12 are mentioned. These are the additional 12. And now it is not a kasha why the first Nesiim are not mentioned, because the pasuk here is only mentioning the additional 12 Meraglim. And the pasuk continues, Vayikra Moshe Lahishea Benun, and Moshe called Hishea Benun Yahishua. He changed his name to Yahishua. We know that Sarah was originally called Sarai, and Hashem changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. So there was an extra yud that was left out of her name, and that yud was placed in the front of the name of Hishea, making it Yehoshua. And really, this was a tefillah that Moshe was davening for Yehoshua ben Nun. He was saying, Ka, the first two letters of Yeshua's name, Ka, the name of Hashem, Yoshiacha, should save you me'atzas meraglim, from the plan of the meraglim. You should not get pulled in by their avera. And the question is, when did this name change take place? Because we see earlier in Sefer Shemois that Hishea ben Nun was already called Yehoshua. If you look in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe el Yehoshua. And also in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Vayishma Yehoshua. So how can we say that the change of the name took place over here? Ramban learns that he actually changed his name earlier, and that's why in Sefer Shemois we see the name Yehoshua. And Moshe was davening for Yehoshua at an earlier date because of the event that will take place much later. Marsha in Soita Daf Lama Dalid learns differently. He says that the name change took place over here and right now. And the psukim earlier that calls him Yeshua is calling him Al Shema Osid for what his name will be called later on in his life. But the change of his name actually took place over here in Parsha Shalach. The Mefarshim discuss why did Moshe daven for Yeshua more than all the other Meraglim. Targum Yonison Ben Uziel says it was because of the anivus, the humbleness of Yeshua, that Moshe davened for him. Because Moshe thought, since Yeshua was so humble and would not voice his opinion, he was afraid that he might get pulled into the avera of the Meraglim. Maskel David and others learn that since Eldad Umeidad said in Nevuah, Moshe meis, Yeshua machnes, Moshe will die and Yeshua will be the leader, Moshe was afraid that if Yeshua dies ba'atzas Meraglim, people might think that Moshe Rabbeinu specifically sent Yeshua in order to make sure that he gets killed. This way, Moshe will lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he gave a special tefillah to Yeshua that Yeshua should live. This way, they would not say that he sent him to die in order to take back the leadership. We must also understand why his name was called Hishea ben Nun. The word Ben, son, is always written with a segel. Ben. Why is Yeshua Binun written with a chirik? Chasam Sofer answers as follows. We mentioned earlier that when Hashem took away the Yud from Sarai's name and changed her name from Sarai to Sarah, the Yud complained to Hashem, "Why was I removed from the name of a tzadekis?" Hashem comforted the Yud by telling her, "Until now you were at the end of a woman's name. In the future I shall place you at the beginning of a man's name." Therefore Hashem took the Yud and added it to the name of Hoshea, making it Yehoshua. However, in the name of Sarai, there were no vowels under the Yud, and in the name Yehoshua, there is a Shva under the Yud. From where did the vowel come from? The word Ben, son of, usually has the vowel Segel, Ben. Hashem took away two dots and created a Shva from the Segel, and placed it under the Yud of Yehoshua's name. And since then, in Yeshua's name, the word Ben is spelled Bin, with a chirik, because two dots were taken away in order to compensate for the shva under the yud. Ramban offers a different shot. He says the word bin comes from the word bina, which means understanding. It was because of Yeshua's great understanding of Torah that he became the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the pasuk continues, Vayishlach oisam Moshe, and Moshe sent them losur es eretz Canaan, to spy on the land of Canaan. Arachayim asks, why does the pasuk say again Vayishlach Oisam Moshe after stating these words already in pasuk Gimel? And he answers, over here the pasuk is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu was Malave, he escorted the Meraglim, because they were going Losur Es Eretz Canaan to spy on the land of Canaan, which was a dangerous mission. Therefore, he was Malave them in order to add to them an extra Shmira. Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them, Aluze Banegem, go up first to the south of Eretz Yisrael, then Va'alisa Metzahar, then you can go and see the mountains of the north. And the reason for this is because the way of merchants is to show first the inferior product and then to show the high quality product. So too over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Meraglim to see first the worst part of Eretz Yisrael, the Negev, and then afterwards to see the best part, the mountains of the north. U'ri'isa Metzahar Etz Mahi, and you shall see the land, what type of land it is. V'esa'oma Yosheva Leha, and the people that live on it, Hechazoku Harofe, are they strong or weak? Hama'atu, are they small in population, in Rav, or are they many? And Rashi tells us that the end of the pasuk, V'esa'oma Yosheva Leha, Hechazoku Harofe, Hama'atu, in Rav, is an explanation of U'ri'isem Esa'oritz Mahi. And this is the pshat. U'ri'isem Esa'oritz Mahi, you should see what type of land this is. Is it a land that produces strong people, or is it a land that produces weak people? Hechazaku harofe. Is it a land that produces a small population, hama'atu, or is it a land that produces a large population, imrov? Umoha oretz asherhu yoshevo, and what type of land are they living on, hatoivahi imrov? Is it a good land or a bad land? Is it a good land that has good springs and good wells or not? Umoha orem asherhu yoshevo, and what are the cities that they live in them, habemachanim? Are they open cities without walls, in bimimsarim, or are they closed cities with walls around it? And Rashi over here also says, habemachanim in bimimsarim is going back on the pasuk before, hechazaku harofe. How were Klal Yisrael to know if they were strong or not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a simon. If they live in open cities, that shows that they rely on their power, and therefore that is a proof that they are strong. However, if they live in enclosed and fortified cities, that shows that they are weak because they need the walls to protect them. So Habemachanim im b'mivsarim is explaining how we will know Hechazaku harofe. Umoha oretz, and what type of land is it? Hashmeinahi imraza, is it fertile or is it lean? Hayesh ba etzemayin, does it have a tree or not? And Rashi says that this cannot be taken literally, because if it's a fertile land, then it does not make a difference if there are trees or not, because one can plant trees. Therefore, Hayesh Bo Eitzimayin means, is there an Adam Kosher, is there a decent man that lives among them that will protect them in his merit? V'hischazaktem, and you shall strengthen yourself, u'lekachtem, and you shall take me pri haaretz, from the fruit of the land. Do not be afraid to take the fruit. V'ayomim yimei bikuri anovim, and the days were the days of the ripening of the grapes. And therefore we will see later that they specifically took the eshkol, the cluster of grapes, because that was the fruit that was ripening at that time. Let us go back now on the Rashis. Zok Rashi, Shlach Lecho Anoshim, Lo Manitzmecha Parshas Meraglim LeParshas Miriam. Why was the Parsha of the Meraglim placed adjacent to the Parsha of Miriam? Because Parshas Bahaloscha ends off with the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, and this Parsha starts with the story of the Meraglim. What is the connection between these two Parshas? And the Mefarshim ask, what is Rashi's question? What is wrong with placing the Parsha of the Meraglim next to the Parsha of Miriam? That was the sequence of events, because the Parsha of Miriam took place in Chatzeros, like the Pasuk says at the end of Parshas Bahaloscha, and from Chatzeros they traveled to Midbar Paran, and that's where the story of the Meraglim took place, like it says in Pasuk Gimel. So the two Parshas should be placed next to each other, because they happened one after the other. Some Mefarshim want to learn that although they took place one after the other, still they should not be placed next to each other, because we do not want to place two Averis one next to the other, the Avera of Miriam and the Avera of the Meraglim. Others don't like this Teretz, because when do we say that we do not want to place two Parshias of Avera next to each other? That is, if both Parshias are Averis of the Klal. The whole congregation sinned. However, if one of the Averis is an Avera of a Yochid of an individual, then it's not a problem. And therefore, since Miriam's Avera was an Avera of a Yochid, therefore it can be placed next to the Parsha of the Meraglim. The Maharal and the Mizrahi both learn that Rashi over here is going according to his Pshat in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, where over there he says that the story of Korach took place in Chatzeros before the story of the Meraglim. And actually, the sequence of events was the story of Miriam that took place in Chatzeros, then the story of Korach that also took place in Chatzeros, and afterwards, in Midbar Paran, in Kodesh Barnea, was the story of the Meraglim. It comes out, according to this Pshat, that the story of Korach comes in between the story of Miriam and the story of the Meraglim. And this is what Rashi's question is. Why is the Parsha of Meraglim placed next to the Parsha of Miriam if the story of Korach should have been in between? However, the Rashi in Parshas Devarim is a contradiction to what Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Korach. In Perek Tezayin, Posuk Dalet, Rashi states that the story of Korach was the fourth Avera of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi lists the four Averas. The first Avera was the Avera of the Egel, the second the Misoinanim, the third Avera was the Avera of the Meraglim, and the fourth one was the Avera of Korach. So we see, according to this Rashi, that the story of Korach took place after the Meraglim. And according to this Rashi, the story of Miriam and the story of the Meraglim took place next to each other, and therefore we must understand what Rashi's question is, Lama Nismecha, why should these two Parshiyos be placed adjacent to each other? And Rashi answers, Lefisha Lokso Aliske Diba, since Miriam was punished because of matters of speech, Shedibra Bochia, because she spoke against her brother, Urishoim Halolu Ra'u V'lai Lokhu Musar. And these wicked people saw that Miriam got saras because of speaking Lashon Hara, and they did not take a lesson from the story of Miriam. That is why these two parashiyas are placed next to each other. Zot Rashi, Shlach Lecha, send for yourself. L'daitcha, if you want. Ani eini mitzav lecha. I am not commanding you to send the Meraglim. Im tirtzer shalach, if you want, you should send. L'fisha bo Yisrael v'armu. Since Klal Yisrael came and said, Nishlecha anashim lefoneinu, let us send spies before us, k'moshenemar, like the Pasuk says, v'atikruvun elai kulchem, you all gathered and came close before me, u'moshe nimlech b'shchina. And Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar Hashem said, Ani amayti lohem shitoiva. I told them that it's a good land. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Ela eschem e'oni Mitzrayim, I will take you out from the pain of Mitzrayim and bring you el eretz toiva urechava, to a land that is good and wide. Chayehem, I swear by their lives, Shani noisim lohem mokoim litois bedivrei hamaraglim. I will give them room to make a mistake and to do an avera through the words of the Meraglim, leman lo yirushuha, in order that they will not inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael. Al pi Hashem, the Meraglim were sent al pi Hashem. It does not mean that Hashem wanted to send Meraglim. Bereshusai, he allowed them, he gave them permission to send. Shlo ikev al yodoi, he did not stop them. Kulam anoshim, all these Meraglim were anoshim. Kol anoshim shebemikro loshim chashivos. Whenever it says Anoshim in the Pasuk, it means important. And at that time, these people were honorable people. So Rashi, Vayikru Moshe Lohishea Benun Yehoshua, Hispalel Olah, he davened for Yehoshua, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim. by adding the Yud, he said, Ka, the name of Hashem Ka, should save you from the plot of the Meraglim. Alu Zeba Negev, first check out the south. Hu Hayah Hapsoiles Shel Eretz Yisrael. That is the inferior of Eretz Yisrael. Shekein Derech HaTagorim, so is the way of merchants. Marin Etz Hapsoiles. Techila. First they show the inferior thing first. Va'achar Kach, and afterwards, Marin Etz Hashvach, they show the high quality product. So too over here, first look at the worst part of Eretz Yisrael, the Negev, and then the best part, the north. Zok Rashi, Es Ha'oritz Mahi, check out what type of land it is. Yesh Eretz Megadelos Giborim. There are lands that produce strong people. Yesh Eretz Megadelos Chaloshim. And there are lands that produce weak people. Yesh Megadelos Uchlusim. Yesh Mema'etes Uchlusim. There are lands that produce large populations, and there are lands that produce small populations. Rashi is telling us, Hechazuku Arofe Hama'atu Imrov is part of the question of Ur'isim Es Ha'oritz Mahi. Check out what type of land it is. Is it a land that produces strong people or weak people? Is it a land that produces a large population or a small population? Hechazuku Arofe, are they strong or weak? Simen Masur Lahem. He gave them a sign to know if they are strong or weak. In Beprozim Yoishvim, if they live in open cities without walls, Chazokim Heim, this shows that they are strong. Shesimchim Al Gvurasam, because they rely on their strength. If they live in fortified cities with walls, chaloshim heim, this is a sign that they are weak. So the pasuk further that says habamachanim im b'mivtzarim is really the simon of hechazaku harofe. Habamachanim, targumai targum says habapatzchim. Do they live in open cities? Krachin pesuchim u'pesuchin me'ein choyma. Open cities without walls. Hatoyvehi, is it a good land? B'mayonois u'sahoymois toivim u'vriim. With springs and deep wells that are good and healthy. Hayesh bo eitz, do they have a tree? And Rashi says this does not mean literally a tree, but rather im yesh bohem adam kosher sheyegin aleihem b'schusoi. Do they have a decent man among them that will protect them because of his merit? And the days were the days of bikurei anovim, yomim shohanovim mispashlim bebikur. The days of the ripening of the grapes.